Hey, just to let you know, I was there at Celebrate Life too, and I don't want to piggyback off of what Pastor Harrison just said, but man, what an event. First off, I feel like 600 teens filled a room and just praised God. The impact eternally. Wow. Just seeing our future, which is the now. All right, they are the now. They are leaders. They are the ones that we are going to be turning to and should be turning to now anyway, going, man, they are ready to carry the torch for God. Right? These two ladies that just stood up are a microcosm of what God is doing in a culture and a generation that will change life trajectories. Right? And that is just so awesome. And to be able to have the privilege to be a part of Celebrate Life, to sit there on the sideline, to be part of the planning, man, it is a blessing. It is something that God will, I will cherish from this point on. And as selfishly, as a dad too, seeing my daughter Natalie up here and telling me, and I got to pray over her. She came and prayed with me, right? And I just was blunt, like, what do you want? Why are you coming up? Like, there was a challenge, and I wanted to hear what God was putting in her life. And she just said, I want to be led by God. And that means being led where she is in school, with her peers, with her friends, with home. Like, I want her to be a leader at home too, right? And in those areas, in that thought process, I'm just going, wow, God is working, and this is just a little microcosm of what's going on here in this moment, and just the Holy Spirit moving. And I want you to know, church, there are many times in youth ministry that I have sat in those services and go, man, I want to bring all this back here, and it just be contagious and exciting and be overwhelmed. And I want to see our adults, I want to see our senior citizens, I want to see our people just go, man, I want to be led by God today. And to know that He can still do a work in here, know that He can still do something with this mess that stands up here and goes, I want to use you, Ben, I want to use you guys. Man, that's what God is saying right now. That's what God is doing right now. I would love for us sometimes just to come, and this isn't about performing. This is just letting down all the chains and all the worries that we have about our life and all the expectations when we walk in here and just praise our Savior. Let Him know, hey, we are here because of you, nothing else, not the fantastic speaker up there. Because nobody's coming for that. And not our worship band, which they are excellent. Not our children's ministry, which they're excellent. Not our youth ministry. We come because of what God has done in our life, and we want everybody to know it. Right? And I want you to know, this was the challenge. This was the challenge. Yeah, clap that. That's awesome. Not me, God. This is the challenge that was laid upon the teens in the last service. And I want this to resound really quick. First off, He said, you are loved. To over 600 teens, that some of them probably felt like they have never been loved before. And this, he put it this way too. He said, listen, I represent the church. And when sometimes we don't do this well, you are loved. You are valued. You're one in a million. And this is the last statement that I think rings so true, and I hope you also believe this. We need you. Teens, kids, young adults, we need you. We need you to step up and be the leaders that you are called to be. We need you to step up and show us what true relationship with God is that just lets down all the weird little things that we get hung up about and just know that God is real, and I want to live that out. I want me to understand that. I want us to understand that and join in with them. I will tell you, being a youth minister for 20 years, one of the things I've always been frustrated with is teens are so willing to allow the Spirit to move in them, and it is so weird to see that not happen with our adults. We get so easily entrenched in who we are and what we are, and we don't allow the Spirit to move. We don't allow the Spirit to still engage in us. We still don't allow the Spirit to go, hey, I need to be teachable. If you remember last week, right? So I just wanted to brag about that. I got to be a part of it. I was part of the leadership of this event, and it takes a lot of work to do it. But I will tell you, everybody that was there would do it tenfold again because of the work that God is doing. So not just to pat on our back, but to understand, hey, we need to be a part of this. And I will tell you, camp, teens, if you have a teenager that's going into seventh grade this year, right? Get him, Harrison, raise your hand again. He's that guy. All right? Find him. He will get you a camp for him. We need to get you to camp. We have an amazing speaker, but it's more than this. The Spirit moves at camp in a different way a lot of times. I will tell you, my life has been transformed for many times of going to camp. I know other people's stories. Because why? Because it is saturated in prayer. It is saturated, ready for the Spirit to move. And I will tell you what, teens are more willing to accept that in that moment because they're away from everything else. Right? In church, I will tell you this. This is what we need to be praying for. Yes, pray for that week of camp that's coming up. But pray for the week after and the week after, because those are the weeks to see whether or not something has taken the handle of. Something that the foundation of what happened at the camp, that they just come back and they're like, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I did. All those decisions I made a week before don't really mean anything. No, they do. And I want you to know, too, people, we are not off the hook. We don't just go, well, you know, God did something there. You can tell. But, man, without 2 weeks ago, they were different teenagers. We are called to follow up with them. We are called to love them. We are called to keep them to those challenges that they have accepted that week. We are not off the hook. We can send them. We can be supportive of them. We can pray for them. But guess what? We need to be the ones that engage them. I love to tell our adults, I know I'm going way off here, and I promise you I'll try to make up for it. But I love to tell our adults, listen, you have many years of social experience than these teenagers, right? That you've been able to talk to people. You've been able to engage with them. Teens are dumb. I love you, teens, right? But I've had years of teenage ministry, and they don't know how to communicate. And that's okay. They're awkward. That's okay. Guess what our job is? To get beyond that and love them through that. Be there for them. You know, I've seen it in years of ministry. You've seen a senior adult invest in one of my teens, and it made a lifelong friendship. It made something change in that teen from that point on, that knowing somebody besides their parents, knowing somebody that besides their pastor or youth pastor cared about them within the church walls was eternal and changed their lives. And there's direct impacts to this. You know what ended up happening? That teen always took care of that senior adult from that point on. They were there. If it snowed, guess what happened? That teen got up, didn't have to be prompted, wanted to go and shovel that guy's driveway. If the yard work needed to be done, guess what that team did? They stepped up and did it because they cared for that team, that senior adult, because first that senior adult invested everything into them. Man, that's church. That's what we're called to do, and I love it. We need you. And that message is not just for our teens, that is for all of us. We need you. We need you to love God the way that He has called you to love God, and He's put you on this earth for a reason, not just to sit still and be a participant, or not just to sit still on the sideline and watch things happen. He's called you personally, and that's so awesome. All right, off my spiel. All right, happy Mother's Day. I want to say this really quick, and my mom's not here, but she'll be watching. Behind every great mom is a great son. Nope, just great son. Right, Jackson? Yeah. All right. Just joking. Happy Mother's Day. I want you to know I'm truly blessed. I have a great mom. I love her to death. She prays for me every day. She really does. She lets me know. And those moments I step in it and I walk away and I know it is only by her prayers that I'm able to make it through this. Right? I know she does that. And that in turn, I want you to know every mom, a great mom is one that prays for their kids every day. Every day. It's tough, I know. There's days you have to pray that you can even love them, right? But man, moms pray. And I see that, and I want that, and I thank you for my moms. I thank you for the moms that are out here. Last week, we started a new series, and it is called, if we can get there, maybe. It is called Biblical Leadership, right? And we started a challenge. Anybody remember that challenge? We're doing, and you can join us at any moment in this challenge. It's 31 days, right? Proverbs. We're reading 31 days of Proverbs. So that's a chapter a day, right? And what we really want you to do is get wisdom, right? Not a bad thing to ask for. Wisdom is different from education. Wisdom is different from the knowledge of this world. Wisdom is directly connected with God alone. And when we seek God out, he gives us wisdom. And I love the verses if we read it. Man, get wisdom. It's so simple and it's easy, but Solomon just said it's so simple and so easy because he was so wise. He knows that our brains are kind of full with other stuff, and if we can just think about it in terms of just two words, get wisdom, right? And we're working on this Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all of you, all you have, get understanding. And this is the verse that we're kind of working through, right? We're going to be revisiting because with leadership, to be a biblical leader, you have to be somebody that is teachable. And that was the very first sermon that I talked about with this series, and we're going to keep revisiting because guess what? In all things that we do, we need to have an approach that is one that we are looking for the answers, looking for how we can be molded, how we can be changed in every situation. We don't, even if we got the situation right? I don't know about you. I'm picking on the women in my life right now. I've had multiple fights with my wife through the years. I will tell you, I mark on the calendar which ones I win. 2. No joke, it's on the calendar, recurs, it lets me know, hey, anniversary, you were right on this day, right? But even in those moments that you're right, you still need to learn from that. You still need to learn from what happened there and how you got to that moment and how it changed you and how it needs to mold you, right? In every occurrence, especially with God, you want to be teachable. Nobody has arrived, right? We've not arrived. Even if you think that you're like 90% done and I'm almost there, woo-hoo, you haven't arrived. You are still needing the spirit of being teachable. The next thing that we're going to talk about is how to be attuned. Attuned to the Spirit, attuned to life, attuned to what God is doing, right? Understanding that there's a world outside of Ben Alexander, a world outside First Church of the Nazarene, a world outside my work, a world outside of me that I need to understand through the lenses of God, I need to be attuned with and how to love the way he's called me to love this world, right? And so I want to talk about it from Luke 9, 23 through 24, a simple verse, a simple understanding, but it is so deep and so wild that it is hard for us to contemplate this in our daily walk. But it says, then he said to them, all whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, and follow me. This is, if we were having issues with our car, we would need to do something daily to tune it up. You know, if you have an older vehicle and the moment you hit a bump and everything just goes off a line, right? And you can just tell as you're driving, this isn't right. I think we live this way sometimes, and I think we need to be attuned. We need to be that moment of realizing God needs to be resurfacing in my life. I need to seek him out in these moments of how to deal with it. Right? And this means picking up my cross daily. Now, picking up my cross is not something that we think is... anybody got a cross around their neck? Like, it's not something that is decorative. It is not something that is appealing, especially for those during the time when the cross was really used for its intentions. The cross is the electric chair. The cross is something that is for punishment. The cross is what we sent people that deserved punishment to die in a public forum. And when I say public forum, I mean like the cross during this time, if you were ruled and you were judged and you were convicted and your conviction was the cross, guess where you were? You were at the entrance of like Walmart. And they'd walk by you and go, ha, you deserve this. Like it was a public forum of disgrace, a public forum of death, a public forum of judgment, right? And here we have Jesus saying, pick up our cross daily. This means die to ourselves daily. Let the world know I don't want to live for myself. I want to live for Jesus. And that means I've got to let myself go. I've got to let the things that I desire on the back burner and allow God to live. And then he starts changing this to the things that I once desired become his desires. The more that we follow him, the more that we pick up our cross daily, the more we start to resemble the desires that Jesus wants. And the things that we think we need become no more. And the things that we know Jesus wants become everything. Right? Just amazing, right? And so I want to talk about this real quick. What attunement means, and it's really empathy in the realm of God. And empathy is one of those things in which I think I'm not great at, right? Like it takes practice to be empathy, not for everybody. Some people, it's like a natural, they just have this a part of them. And there's people I look and they have so much empathy. I'm like, man, if I could just taste that, if I could just know that, if I can have that, because man, they're so kind, they're caring. And their first reaction is like, go, not one of like, go get a job, you bum. It's one of like, how can I feed you? How can I love you today? How can I be the hands and arms of God today for you, right? So first thing, gives others courage. Gives others courage. Real quick, if you want to take notes, this is the best place to take notes, right? Gives others courage. Empathy allows you to understand, hey, there's more than this situation that's going on. Let me stand with you and live in this moment that you feel like is impending doom and let you know we got it. We can do this. Let me help you with this, right? Next thing, lessens anxiety. Woo, this is such a key word today, anxiety, right? Teenagers have it all over, written all over them, right? It is the anthem of this generation. Empathy as a church, as a fellow believer of Jesus Christ, helps us understand God's got it. There is nothing to fear in this world. Right? And if we believe that, then shouldn't we live that out and know that, hey, the things and the struggles that you deal with, God's bigger than them, and we're going to love you through them. Yes. Think about that. Think about that message really quick. That if we, many people don't want to come into a church service, a church being, because they walk in and instantly feel what? Judgment. They feel the hurt, the frustration. They feel out of place. Am I right? We are called to be the opposite of that. We are called to be welcoming, loving, caring, and we believe God will take care of the things in which they are dealing with, and we bring peace to the chaos that they live in. Right? All right. We lessen anxiety because of what God is doing in our life. We know God's bigger than it. Why don't we believe it? Right? And if we believe it, we show it. Lowers defenses. All right, we live in a world that, like, we are constantly fighting. I don't care what side you're on. I don't care what issue it is. We get on Facebook and we want our opinions to be out there, right? With empathy, we don't care about our side. We understand the other side. It doesn't mean that we agree with the other side. It doesn't mean we take camp in the other side. We just go, yes, I hear you. I value you. I'm going to be here for you. Too much, what arguments are is just, we forget what even the point is. We just plant our flag, and our flag is what we are the most concerned about, and we even dig deeper and deeper and deeper, and we're forgetting what is out there is that people and not the issue. And God didn't die for the issues. He died for people. Jesus was sent for the people to find salvation, find forgiveness, find a new life, right? He didn't come for the purposes. He didn't come for the things that we value. He came because he valued every single one of you, right? And we come here, and with that mentality, and we understand that, we lower the defenses. And we have to lower our defenses. That's what empathy is. We encourage collaboration. We work together. We work together. Right? It is so interesting how church has gotten to the situation that it is. When I was growing up, the focus was this, and it wasn't necessarily a bad focus, but the focus was this individual relationship between me and God and alone. Right? And it's this, right? And we have designed everybody in here to be silos in their relationship early on in their youth faith, if you grew up in the church. The reality is this, we are called to do this together. Not once in Scripture said it was between you and God alone, and let that be, and don't share any of the burdens that you have, don't share any of the struggles that you have, don't share any of the successes you have. That's just between me and God. That is nowhere in the Scripture. We are called to do this together. And the more we do this together, the more that we're willing to do other things with other people that don't know who God is because we have worked on this. No one is an individual in their relationship with God. You're called to be one. We are called to be one audience before God. Do you realize that? We are called to be a body. And we all have skills, we all have talents, we all have our abilities, right? Not everything banks on the person that stands up here. Not everything banks on our board secretary. Not everything banks on the ministry leaders. We need them, yes, they're leaders, but we need everybody else to be a part of this, to make this work, right? No one, this is what I love, no one is more important than anybody else that sits in these seats. No one. We are all valued. We are all needed. God sent his son for every single one of us in this room. Do we believe that? And if we believe that, then every voice is valued. Every heart is valued. Every action is valued. And we see that. Now, we drop the ball many times, but this is what it calls to be picking up our cross daily to be disciples. If you notice, Jesus didn't do his ministry alone. Get that. Jesus didn't do his ministry alone. He had 12 other guys. And he knew probably all along, one's gonna sell me out. You see, church is messy even for Jesus. But did he quit on them? He encouraged them nonstop. I mean, yeah, he called Peter Satan, get behind me, but he was one of his best friends. Listen, church can be messy. But let's remember what it's all about. If we're attuned with God, we have empathy for each other. We understand, hey, we all come from different backgrounds. We are all dealing with issues. And maybe they were just so done for that day and how they were so short with me. Maybe something else is there instead of me going, man, what a jerk. I'm never going to talk to them again. Instead, going home and going, Lord, please, how can I be the love and grace and the mercy and the kindness that this person needs? You see, what happens is it's not centered around me. It's centered around God. And the relationships that I have all suddenly don't matter what they've done to me. Yeah, I don't want you to hurt me. But the reality is this. God has already loved me, and I'm assured of that. And everything else, it doesn't matter. And if you say something, if you're short with me, if you're just rude that day, or maybe we're just not on the same page, my reaction shouldn't be one of defense. I'm lowering my defenses. I'm coming to collab with you, and I need to love you through it. I need to be praying for you. And not in a spiteful way. Not go, God, fix them. Because this is what God will do. Guess what he will do? He will put them in your life even more to go, you're the one that helped them through this. And I need to fix your attitude to be kind in this moment. I need to fix your attitude to be one that encourages collaboration. Lastly, move forward with changes that need to be made. Move forward with changes that need to be made. Listen, this can happen individually and corporately. Individually, there are things every one of us are working on. Every one of us should know and understand there is something in me that is broken, damaged, and not right. Right? I bet you anything, there's probably things that you would never want to be up on this stage and go, this is my struggle today, and this is what I've struggled with for the past 20 years, and this is what, you know, try not to think of me any differently, please. Right? Love me anyway. Right? But the reality is this, God doesn't want to keep us in this one moment of our life dealing with the same struggles. He wants to move us forward. He wants us to keep being in line with Him, and in line with Him to pick up our cross daily means we die to the stuff in which help anchors us. We die to the stuff that keeps us to a point that there's no growth. We let it go, and we move forward with God. We cannot be a healthy person without God. We can't. And the only healthiness about us is knowing that God is rejuvenating, and God is forgiving us. God is making what is old new again. Right? Now, church, this is the same thing. Hey, check this out. We love to hold on to ministries that have no depth to them. Right? Like, hold on. I'm gonna step in it really quick. I love hymns too. Okay? I do. I love hymns, Abby. All right? But can we let them go? Right? We do the same thing with ministries. Do you know those are just man-made things? Yeah, it's centered around God, but those hymns too were bar songs, if you look at them. And you know what they were doing there in that time? They were connecting with the people of the lost and bringing a message to the lost that in the bar scene and letting them know, hey, this song that you're singing, there's even a better verse to this song. Let me share it. Man, grace is so amazing. Even a lost, wretched soul can find Jesus Christ. Right? And they're using the bar songs to relay that message. Now, I don't know. I have not been to a bar for a long time. But there's not too many bar chants anymore, I'm guessing. Right? And if there was, my hope would be, can we figure out a way to bring God into those moments and go, okay, how do we get this message to the people that need it the most? Right? And if a ministry is only satisfying those who are saved, if a ministry is only satisfying those that it's just a Christian country club, and it's not glorifying God in reality, shouldn't we just move on from it? Whew, that's a tough one. It's there for a reason at the last, because this is tough. Because this is it. Like, Bible studies, they are great. But what I want is Bible studies to teach me, to equip me, to go out and be the Bible in this world that needs that the people need to see the written message all over me. It's not just going to the Bible study and going, this is what I learned. I'm going to share what I learned. I'm going to just go, and everybody's going to walk away going, oh, man, been smart. That's not what a Bible study is about. It's equipping. It's challenging. And it better be for the mission for God. If we are doing things just to be a Christian country club, my challenge as a church is that we get rid of it. Because it's not really honoring God, it is only satisfying us. All right? We look at Romans 12, 15 through 17. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud. But be willing to associate with people of low position, do not be conceited, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to what you do is right in the eyes of everyone. See, this is a moment of going, okay, Paul's understanding, hey, the tuning fork of my life, this is how I need to be tuned. This is how I need to live and how I look at people. And nobody should be, in my mind, below me. Not spiritually, not physically, not emotionally. God created them. God formed them. God put them here. And whether their situation from a society standpoint is that they're lost and garbage, from God's standpoint, he sent his son to die for them alone if they were the only person. And that's what we are called and to be tuned into. To value that, to understand that, and to recognize that. And I want you to know that takes a lot of work of letting God transform this inside. All right? Galatians 6 says this: carry each other's burden, and the way you will be fulfilled, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Whew. Think about that. When's the last time you honestly carried somebody's burden? And let me even go further. Whose law is it? Our Savior's. You know, I can't imagine too many people out here are lawbreakers. Now, you're probably not going and robbing grocery stores or gas stations today, right? I can't imagine that. But I think many times we have broken the law of Christ because we walked by somebody and didn't carry their burdens. We've walked by somebody and go, man, that's going to take a lot of work. That's going to take a lot of pain. That's going to take a lot. I just don't, God, I don't have the time. In fact, let me do a drive-by prayer, and you do your work, and let me see what happens. And man, if something great happens for that person, guess what I get to say? Oh, I pray for him. I prayed for him. I started the work. God listened to me. God, oh, yeah. This is what I think is happening right now. I think the moment we drive by and we even have that urge to pray for him, you know what God is saying in that moment? Man, I want you to step up, be the legs and the feet and to carry the burdens for that person. If you have it in your heart to pray for him, you should have it in your heart to act that prayer out. To be a biblical leader is not something that we come here and we get all the wisdom and we just soak it in. It changes us. It makes us be what God has called us to be. And all of a sudden, the world around us starts being transformed. Not because of our doing, because of what God is doing in us and through us and doing around us. You believe it? I want you to know, this weekend, from Thursday to Saturday, I saw it. People's lives were being transformed. Other teens were going up to teens going, hey, I need to pray for you. How can I be praying for you? How can I love on you? How can I be there for you? Can you imagine ending this service with that mentality? Going, hey, I know something's here. I know something's wrong. I know what I need you to know that we're here to carry your burdens. Hey, if you can't pay your bills, let me figure it out. You know, it's this mentality of understanding our humbleness, right, in this moment, and living it out and going, I know there's something bigger with God, and I want to do it with you. Can you imagine that? That's being in tune with God. That means we have empathy that is boundless, eternal empathy. Whew, that's painful. Because there's sometimes you just want to slap a person. They just need to be changed. They need, come on, wake up. And God comes in and says, it's not, no. Listen, look at Jesus and how he was with Peter. There's so many times he had to calm down Peter. And Peter was like, this guy is like, man, I love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I'm the best disciple that he's got. Listen, I will die for him, right? And there's many times that Jesus had to like put him in his place. One of them was like, he told Peter, can you imagine this? Being told by somebody that you love, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he goes, no, I would never do that. I have dropped everything to follow you. I am your best that you got. I am so ambitious. I want the world to know what you're doing. I am one of the first ones to say that you are the Messiah. Right? And then the pressure and the stress of life comes, and guess what happens? He denies him 3 times. And on that third time, he's like, oh, no. And guess what he lived in? He lived in that shame and that guilt and that worry and that frustration, and that's who he was. And Jesus is resurrected, and he meets Peter. Guess what he did? He didn't go, you know, he didn't say to him, man, you're a jerk. I don't want you in my ministry. You denied me in a moment that my life was on the line for you. I was dying for you, and you totally abandoned me. Where were you? In fact, he asked him three questions. Do you love me? He asked this three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you know why he asked him three times? Because on the third time, man, it changed him. He realized, I denied him three times. Oh, he purposely is asking me, do I love him? And only Jesus knows if we love him. And he looked at him, yeah, then go live out my call. Go be a leader the way that I have called you to be a leader. And in this moment, he learned what it was, forgiveness. He learned how to be humble. He learned to be those things and realize, I only can do this with Jesus. Listen, to be a biblical leader, you can only do this with Jesus. Right? And the more that we have a relationship with him, the more that we understand who Jesus is in our life, guess what starts to happen? We start to build this little heartbeat. Maybe you've already got one. Maybe you were already gifted with it, but this heart, like the Grinch, right? All of a sudden, he didn't have one, and all of a sudden, oh, he just started loving. Jesus is that for us in this moment, right? And we start to understand, hey, I need to have empathy. I need to know that there's people in this world that are lost, and they don't have this grace. They don't understand this love. They don't understand salvation. They don't understand life is more than the situation that they find themselves in, but I do. How am I to share that with them? And we should be excited to share that. We should be anticipating it. We should be looking at every opportunity to be the grace and mercy and empathy that God has for us, even with the people that we can't stand. That's our call today. That's our call. So two things. Join us this next week to do two things this week, right? Get wisdom, be teachable. Allow God to teach you, allow others to teach you, to have a heart and a beat that just knows and a mind that's willing to go, hey, I don't know it all. I need to know more. Right? Second, be in tune with God. Be in tune with what God is doing and how God wants to use you this week. Keep your eyes open. There's people that God has put in your life to not just pray for, but have empathy for, to love for, to be the hands and feet for, to carry the cross daily for, right? Church, stand with me. This morning, my challenge is that we become more what God wants every day, right? And that it's not just banked upon one day of the week, but tomorrow we start that process of just living a life with Jesus and what that looks like and what that sounds like and how I do that. Tomorrow, just don't pray. Do what God has called you to do. Be in tune with His Spirit. God loves you. God sends you. You're dismissed. Happy Mother's Day.